Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are finally back with another episode of the Playing Hooky Bowfishing Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Cody. Finally, we are back making episodes again. You know, we had to take a little break there for a while in the second half of 2023. You can probably see the last episode that we released was in July, so it's been a little bit of time here. And, you know, it's just a busy time of life for us over here, just like the rest of the world. You know, everybody's busy, so had to take a little break and get a few things figured out, and now we're finding a little bit more time on our hands, finally, so we can start putting some episodes out again. And so we're doing it. Here we are. So this week, we're going to jump right in to an interview with a guest that's been on here before, and you guys probably already saw the thumbnail, so you know who it is. It's a great conversation, and I think it's pretty valuable for the bowfishing community to listen to, so this is a good one to start off with. And then eventually, we'll have a little, probably a solo episode where I'll talk about the 2023 season here in Minnesota and some of the things we experienced up here. So that'll be good as well. But yeah, for now, we're going to jump right into this conversation with Steven. And yeah, glad to be back. Hope you guys are glad we're back. Let's do it. Here it is. Okay, we are back with another episode. Joining me today, Steven Banasek. And if you've listened to this podcast for a while, about a year ago, Steven was on here talking about some of the cool things he's doing down in Oklahoma, Texas area, working with fisheries and wildlife, working on invasive species stuff, doing bow fishing for them, and, you know, shooting records. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. And so we have Steven back on today talking about some similar stuff, but also some concerning things. So it's going to be a good conversation. It's going to be an important conversation. Really excited to have Steven back on. So Steven, welcome back, buddy. How's it going?
Hey, good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm, you know, this is a subject that in the bowfishing community we need to talk about because, you know, there's a big anti-bowfishing wave coming. So it's good that we sit down and kind of, you know, get ahead of it and try to get people to see everything from our perspective as well.
Absolutely. And so I think we can just dive right into that. Talk a little bit about what's going on, who it's affecting, and just kind of get people up to date on the issues that we're facing down there.
Yeah. So, you know, like I've talked about last time with the CARP project, and just to make a couple things clear, that the people that we work directly with were the federal biologists, and then the issues we're having down here right now are actually state biologists with the state of Oklahoma. So it is a different organization. Although, of course, everybody works in cahoots. You know, the fish we're moving were from Oklahoma, so, you know, everybody was involved in it. But, you know, we set out on that project for a couple of reasons. And one, you know, we know that these invasive species are horrible for our native wildlife. I mean, you can see that in other areas of the country. And Oklahoma is very blessed to not really have a carp problem at all yet. They're just not moving in. So we thought, okay, we want to establish a good relationship with the state of Oklahoma, you know, helping them out and trying to show that we're all on the same team here. We all care about the fish. And, you know, we set on the project and removed more Asian invasive carp than everybody else in the state combined, and probably even in history. The numbers were incredible. And, you know, we did that, you know, out of our own pockets, and it's funded by bow fishermen, funded by bow fishing guides. You know, we're giving me money, and we try to establish a relationship with the state. And man, unfortunately, it was completely one-sided with the state. I mean, they wanted nothing to do with us. You know, there was some paddlefish snaggers that were catching a few carp up here, you know, a few big-headed carp out of a lake, and they were making all kinds of posts on Facebook talking about how great and talented they were, and you know, we never got anything like that whatsoever, and we never got any sort of acknowledgement. We weren't necessarily doing it for the acknowledgement, but it was just, you can kind of see where everything that was going on, which led us to where we are now, which is with this new regulations that they're pushing. It's extreme. It's ridiculous. What they're trying to do here in Oklahoma is they're trying to put an aggregated limit of 10 fish per person per day for bow fishing. This is for your native non-game fish, all your rough fish, your your gar, your buffalo, your suckers, bowfin, drum. So they're trying to do a combined limit of 10. So there's a few things wrong with that. I mean, the first one being that an aggregated limit for all available species for a single method of take has never been done in the history of the country. They never went to Rod Reel guys and said, hey, all the species you're allowed to catch, you can only keep 10 of them. That's it. We're going to combine them all together. It's never been done this way. It's always been, you know, per species. They find a species that needs a little help, and, you know, they put regulations on it. And that's not what's happening here at all. There's no data to support any of this. By their own admittance, they have no data. There's no population assessments that back this up. There's no, you know, they've never done any year class studies to show the how often these fish are recruiting. Like, there's nothing. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, when you see such an extreme restriction, you would assume that it would have extreme evidence behind it to push it. You know, like, okay, we got to be in desperate straits to limit people to catch 10 fish when you're talking about dozens of species. I mean, it would take you several days just to even get through the available species. And anybody both ages, I mean, especially around here, if you go out and shoot, if you're just shooting, you go out and shoot 10 fish, you've probably got five different species. You know, if not more than that sometimes. It depends on, you know, where you're at, what you're doing. But it's not uncommon at all if you're catching 10 fish to have, I mean, four to five species. So you're talking about you're limiting it to one, you know, one or two of each fish species per day. I mean, I'm going to catch 15 catfish person, but I can't catch 15 gar. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, there's no backing for this at all. So the fact that it kind of is pushing this way, it almost seemed unreal. Like, there's no way they're attempting this, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah, and, you know, I think basically what you're saying here, it's one thing if there was, you know, outstanding evidence that was, you know, pushing it in this direction. I think, you know, bowfishers don't want to lose their sport because of fish extinction. So if that actually was what was going on, I think bowfishers would be, you know, some of the first to accept those regulations and, you know, be almost welcoming of them. But without any evidence at all whatsoever, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Do you have any inclination as to why they're trying to push these limits down there?
Yeah, so, I mean, they've given reasons. You know, I've done a lot of news interviews. Other boat fishermen have done a lot of news interviews, a lot of articles. So we've been able to, there's no open forum where they would sit down and explain to you why they're trying to do it, where you could ask them questions. Like, that doesn't exist in this process, which is kind of crazy to me. But the main thing that they've been making a couple of basic claims. One is that the sport of boat fishing is growing. And here in Oklahoma, this is simply not true. I mean, there may be more interest in the sport, like more people who go on guides, but the biggest bow fishing club in the state, you know, peaked at 93 members, you know, about 6 or 7 years ago, and this year it's only down to 26. You know, you can't hardly even get a tournament together because there's just not, the participation isn't there. So the claim that, you know, the sport is rapidly growing, which is what they keep saying, and these need to be done to prevent something from happening in the future, it's just not true. I mean, I live on the second largest reservoir in the state, and it's rare to see another boat at all, much less, you know, they're claiming that there's 87,000 boat fishermen in the state. And I mean, where are they at? You know, it doesn't make any sense for there to be 87,000 in the biggest boat fishing club only have 26 members. The math ain't mathing, you know, it's not adding up. And the other claim they're making is that, you know, they're trying to just establish value on the fish. That them having no limit just shows that people don't care about them. So they need to set a limit in order to put value on the fish. There's a couple things wrong with that. I mean, the first one being that if that was truly the motivation, that you're just trying to set any limit to, you know, put a value on the fish, then why 10? Why make native non-game fish far more restricted than game fish? I mean, if you wanted to go out and catch all the game fish you could be allowed to catch, I haven't added it up, but it's a lot. I mean, you can catch a ton of fish, you know, 50, 60 fish at least. And, you know, the native non-game fish, which have a fraction of the amount of people that fish for them, you can only keep 10. I mean, if your true point was just to set a value, you could have done that with any number. So the 10 really was selected on purpose as an attack on the sport. I mean, 10 will kill the motivation of all your experienced bow fishermen to go out. And I caught a lot of flack for saying this in an article, but I was like, you know, I pay $20,000+ a year just to fish. You know, these bowfishing boats are very expensive, and you know, I don't want to go. If I am limited to 10 fish, I mean, I'm going to go out and be done in, you know, 20 minutes. And I caught a lot of flack for saying that. I'm like, oh, you guys are just shooting fish in a barrel. I'm like, you guys don't understand that. So I went out and we took some GoPros and went out and did a fish count. We picked a spot in the water and we ran for 20 minutes and we counted the native non-game fish versus the like invasive fish. And in 20 minutes of a steady, you know, steady pace down the bank line, we counted 550 native non-game fish, so gar, buffalo, suckers, and only 12 carp. So wow. What we're trying to tell people is, yeah, that even if I go out by myself and I shoot very liberally at like one of every 50 fish I've seen, I still would have been done in 20 minutes. It would have left, you know, 500 fish in that same spot just sitting there. So, and that's the thing we're talking about. And you know, if the limit needed to be set for that purpose, I mean, you could have picked a much higher number. And that's what they're going at. I mean, and the other problem with that is this is how it's been since the dawn of time. There's never been a limit on them. And, you know, you say you have to set a limit on them because it's bad conservation to not to. Like, okay, this is how it's always been since forever. So where's the, you know, show me the data that it's been bad. I mean, you have no data. There's no evidence that it's bad because it's not. I mean, we have so many fish, it's unreal here in Oklahoma. So you're saying you can't keep it like this because it's not good conservation. Well, it's been this way since time existed, and there's no issue with the fish. So claiming that it's not good conservation is just, there's no, you know, there's no weight to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I can't help but wonder if, you know, we almost shot ourselves in the foot as the bow fishing community. You know, the folks that are posting these huge piles of fish and stuff like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, like that's a good time, but you know, I think that's why some of these organizations, some of these other people that know nothing about bow fishing are coming after the sport, because to them it looks like, oh, everybody in the sport is doing this every single night, so that's a problem. And as bow fishers, we all know that's not at all how it is. And you know, that's like those huge giant piles are like, you know, once a year, twice a year, and then the other nights it's quite a bit less. But yeah, people on the outside don't necessarily know that. And now, you know, it almost seems too late, because now it's like the idea's in their head and it doesn't seem like we can change it. But yeah, just another, maybe don't post that pile of fish pic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. And it's, you know, and the other thing about it is, you know, people get upset when they see, you know, piles of fish. And what you got to explain to people is that the reason why they were able to get that many fish is because there's that many fish. You know, if you know how it is, you're not shooting at every fish you see, and you're definitely not hitting every fish you see. So if you end up with, you know, 50, 60 fish, whatever it is, you know, you probably shot at 500, you know.
Exactly.
So, and it's just, it's one of those things. And I get the look, you know, and these whole regulations and everything they're doing, you know, most of these people that are against bow fishing are not anglers. And if they are, they don't angle for these fish. So it really, you know, if you look at the American model of conservation, it's always existed, which is the anglers, you know, or the outdoorsman that pursues the animal species is what brings value to the animal species. I mean, this model has worked. I mean, we've brought so many fish back from extinction using this same model of, okay, these people are providing money for the studies and the other things that should go into protecting these species. And I mean, what this proposal does is it gets rid of the people that pursue the species, which is backwards of the American model of conservation. And, you know, and you're pandering to people who aren't even anglers. They're just upset. They're mad. They don't understand the sport. They think that we hate these fish when it's simply not true. I mean, we have great admiration and appreciation for the fish. They just don't understand the perspective. I think a lot of people that go out with, you know, experienced bow fishermen, especially that have been doing it for a while, they you know, it'll change their tune. You know, they'll be like, okay, this is not what I thought it was. And because it's not. I mean, I've never went out there and thought, oh, I hate these fish. We need to kill all of them. You know, it's not that mentality. I've never met a bow fisherman that is that way. So, you know, removing the anglers that pursue them is not going to help conserve the species. It's not going to do anything at all. I mean, you're basically taking their value away by doing this instead of giving the value, which is what they say they're trying to do. So, I think that, like you said, we're going to show that we care about these fish. And, you know, we like to take pictures with them, show them off to our friends. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a grown man jump up and down for shooting his first little spotted gar, you know, running guides. And you see that too all the time. I mean,
absolutely.
These people are, who aren't anglers, are paying big money to go out and pursue these fish, paying for these guides, buying licenses. And you're not going to get that on a rod and reel. I mean, nobody's going to pay this money to go catch a spotted gar on a rod and reel. You know, they're not.
Right.
The bow fishing is part of the experience. And, you know, so that brings value to the state and it brings value to the economy. So, you know, just this whole thing is really, really, to me, it's a big misunderstanding for the people who just don't understand the sport. They don't understand that we're not trying to eradicate anything. Because like you said, without the fish, we got nothing to fish for. So why would we do that? It makes no sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, to your point, you know, economically, I mean, in the state of Minnesota, you have to have a fishing license to go bow fishing. And a ton of the clients that I take out, the only reason they buy a fishing license every year is to go bow fishing. And so I wish there was a way to, you know, find out what percent of people buy a fishing license just for bow fishing, but I gotta imagine it's a pretty high percentage. And so that's all, you know, money that the state fisheries are making. So it's like, it's also helping them, right? I mean,
right, exactly. I agree. And, you know, historically, what they've always done is they've taken that money and, you know, did studies on the species that, you know, the money came from, and to see if they're in danger, if they need to be this, they need to be that. And this, they're now, they went straight from, you know, okay, we got some money for these people, you know, come out and fish for these fish. Let's get rid of them. You know, it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And it's just all based off feelings. You know, they have an ideological problem with the sport. And the problem with ideology is they breed hate, and there's no way to convince them otherwise. I mean, people, they'll make the claim, we just don't want you shooting a lot of fish. Like, you know, I have maybe the biggest social media following of any pure bow fisherman in the world. And especially if you count just numbers of views, I mean, I've had billions of views, and I know exactly what the you know, what a lot of people think about the sport. I mean, when I first popped on the scene and started making videos, I mean, I'm getting death threats every day. I mean, people are threatening my family. They're trying to get me fired from my job, and I'm out here just shooting a couple little buffalo. You know, half the time I'm using them as catfish bait or whatever I'm doing it. And these people are telling me they hope I die. They hope my family dies. And it was just unreal to me. And that was part of my mission, has always been to show that bow fishing isn't what people think it is. And, you know, and this is the push that they're going is, you know, it's a snowball down the hill. First it's, we put limits, and then it's, well, you know, we don't really want you shooting native fish at all, you know, just target invasives. And then it's, well, you know, we can't really police what you're doing, so we don't want you out there at all. And this is, you can see this because during this whole process, I've been all over the social media, you know, reading the comments of people that are against, you know, that are for the proposal, that are against bow fishermen. And this is what they're calling for. This is not me making this up. I mean, you can go read it. They're calling for the ban of the sport because that's just how they feel. And this is why feelings should not take place of science. Just because they feel like we shouldn't be allowed to do it doesn't mean that we should. I mean, their feelings should not matter. You know, if we're taking a fish and you have no evidence that it's bad, is how it's always been, you know, why are we changing? What are we doing here?
Yep. Exactly. And I mean, again, you know, why not use some of the money from license sales to do studies and see, and then if there is evidence, then look at it. Like, again, I don't think that there's a bow fisherman in the country that would be against that if they were in trouble to put regulations on them. But yeah, just to come out here just because of feeling is wrong, to put it simply. It's just wrong.
You know, it's crazy, you know, and I think that we got to start shifting the narrative. You know, we got to make people realize that we care about these fish a lot. You know, we're willing to spend our money and go after them. And back on the guide thing, you know, I'm a guide and I've talked to several guides in the state. 90% of my customers and just like 90% of their customers are actually out of state. Oklahomans are just not that interested in bow fishing for whatever reason. So most of our customers are coming from Texas, are coming from Missouri, they're coming from all these other states. And they're not going to come if they're limited to 10 fish. I mean, you're going to pay $600 for a trip. You're going to pay for travel. You're going to pay all that stuff to fish for 10 fish, you know. So, you know, you're going to shoot your 10 fish, and there's going to be 500, 600 fish all around us. And I got to tell you, you got to stop fishing. You know, after you paid $600, they're not going to come. They're going to stay in their state that's less restrictive. And then you're losing, you know, the state's losing, you know, people buying hotels or coming in there, going to restaurants, or they're bringing their out-of-state money here, and out-of-state licenses aren't cheap either. So you're killing that entire business. And you know, for people who are full-time guides, you know, I'm not really a full-time guide. I just guide enough to try to help pay for the carp project I've been on. But a lot of guys are, you know, they do this for a living. And, you know, you're telling them, hey, we're going to destroy your business and destroy your livelihood, but it's for a good cause. You know, we got to save these fish. And there's the only thing we're asking in return is, okay, show me that they need to be saved and show me how this helps. And they have nothing. And, you know, it's always been understanding. This is basic. If you have a pond, this is basic management, is that some level of harvest is good. You can't have people keeping all the catfish, keeping all the bass, keeping all these other fish. And if we have bow fishermen, the harvest of these other fish is zero, you know. So you remove the bow fishermen, it upsets the balance. I mean, if you had a pond and you did the same thing, you put these same fish in and you had people catching and keeping the catfish, keeping the bass, and nobody keeping the gar or the buffalo or the suckers, you would see that really fast. You would see the balance offset. And it's just harder to see in a big reservoir, but it's there. You remove the harvest of those fish. There's no way that's good. And they have no science that says that. The only science they say, well, the science has changed because they found out that a couple of these buffalo species live longer than they thought they did. That doesn't change any of the science at all. It just makes you have better feelings for them for some reason because they're older than you thought they were. Like, what does age have anything to do with it? You know, these fish, these smallmouth buffalo, reach sexual maturity at like 3 years old, spawn every year, and if they live to 50 years, you're just telling me that fish that I just shot has made babies 47 times. I mean, that's a lot of babies, you know, for that one fish. So it doesn't make any sense, that mentality that, oh, because they live a long time, they need to be protected. And that just, there's no grounds for that. There's no science behind this at all. It's just feelings. And, you know, they're using trigger words like long lived, and this is going on a tangent here, but their favorite thing to say is, if you have biologists saying this, that bow fishermen target these species because they view them as trash fish. And there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, it's incredibly misleading because we did not decide that we would target these fish. It was the wildlife department that said, these are the only native fish you are allowed to fish for. They took out all the game fish and told us we couldn't fish for them. So by them going somewhere and saying that, oh, they target these fish because they view them as trash, it's not only is it factually incorrect, it's historically incorrect as well. They're the ones that made that decision. And if you looked at it, you know, from areas that still allow some game fish, like South Louisiana, where they allow the redfish, the majority of bow fishermen fish for redfish to eat down there because it's available. So what they did, and the other problem they have, is they say that we waste the fish, we don't eat them. And there's plenty of people that do eat them. There's plenty of people that use them for fertilizer, use them for other methods, other things. But that is also incredibly misleading as well. I mean, what they did is they took all the popular food fish and they banned us for fishing for them. You know, if you took hunting and did the same thing, right? And you said, okay, well, you guys can still hunt, but you can't shoot deer, you can't shoot elk, you can't shoot doves. The only thing you're allowed to fish the hunt for is coyotes, raccoons, and hogs. It's like, okay. So people are still going to hunt, but the amount of people that are eating what they hunt is going to drop significantly overnight. And, you know, a coyote is just as edible as a gar is edible, but it's just not food fare for Americans typically. So you're not going to get as many people eating them. And I think if they were to look back at this objectively and say, okay, what were the decisions that were made that led us to this point here, they would realize that it is the over-regulation of bow fishing that created everything that bow fishing is today, and not under-regulation. They keep saying that we're not regulated and we don't want to be regulated. We're already more regulated than everybody else. You know, a rod and reel guy can go out and catch as many buffalo as he wants as well. Whether they choose to do it or not, that's nothing to do with regulations. We're the only people that are limited significantly to what species we're allowed to target. So that's where we are today, is now it's to the point where they're trying to regulate us out of existence because of misunderstanding. So it's been a hard fight. You know, we've been fighting hard here and we're going to keep fighting.
Yeah, I think all that was really well said, and it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, if you're listening to this and you are a bow fisher, I think it's really important that this year, 2024, especially no matter where you are, no matter what state you're in, I think it's really important that, just like Steven's been saying here, we need to start changing the narrative. Just as far as the social media side, we need to be, I think we need to be posting more about what the fish that we shoot are getting used for. Whether you're eating them, whether you're bringing them to a farmer for fertilizer, bringing them to a zoo or a raptor center for food for animals that way, or a hog farm or whatever, however you're using these fish, I think we need to start sharing that more. I think that's kind of the number one thing. Like, even clients that come out on my boat, that's like one of the first questions they ask if they've never done it. They're like, what do you do with all these fish when we're done? And, you know, so then, I mean, people just don't know. So I think that's something that's really important. And then I think we need to kind of crack down on those in our sport that are giving us a bad name, because, I believe that most people in this sport, and probably most people that listen to this podcast, are pretty ethical people, and they're doing the right things and following regulations. There's people, whether they be newer people in the sport that just don't know any better or what, but people that are dumping fish at boat landings and ditches, places they're not supposed to, things like that, shooting fish they're not supposed to, whatever it is. If you know anyone like that, I beg of you to have a conversation with them, tell them what's going on, show them this podcast. They need to know that the things that they're doing are negatively affecting our sport and potentially are, down the line could really, almost take it away from us. So, I think that's kind of, I think that should be our focus as the bow fishing community in 2024 is basically just, giving us all a better name than what it is right now. Cause yeah, it's rough out there. It is rough.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You're hitting the nail on the head here. And I think we, like I said, we have to show the good things that we bring to the sport and persecute the people doing things wrong. And I think we, as a community, we do that. If we catch people dumping fish, and like you said, it's always new people to the game. They don't know any better. And a lot of people, they don't have anything set up to get rid of the fish. I mean, here in Oklahoma, we have a slit and sink rule, which I think is beautiful, because at least, if we don't have anything to do with the fish for the night, we're returning it to the ecosystem and putting the nutrients back in the ecosystem. Whereas a lot of states, they don't have that. They're actually trying to take that away here as well. And you, when you take that away, you end up with more fish dumping. I mean, like, I live in an apartment, right? So it's like, what am I going to do with the fish if I'm not, if I don't have anybody to take them? And I do give a lot of fish away. I mean, I give fish away to the wildlife department for them to trap and catch alligator snapping turtles for their alligator snapping turtle research. I've given fish to multiple colleges for them to do their studies on how to pull out otoliths and all kinds of things like that. But when you get rid of the slit and sink, I mean, you're going to end up with more fish dumping. And because these young kids, they don't know, they get in over their heads and they shoot a few fish and they're like, crap, what am I going to do with them, before they're thinking about it. So we need to, like you said, pass the education on to these people, and which is what we do, but we need to be a little bit better, maybe more vocal about it publicly, so people can see that we are also against that, because we are. And we need to just keep showing our value. That was with the whole carp stuff here. I mean, that was our intention, was to show how valuable we are in the state and how valuable we are to keep around. I mean, we, like I said, we don't really have a carp problem here. And even in the state of Oklahoma, the majority of the invasive carp that gets removed from the state is by bow fishermen. I mean, I don't have numbers, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 99%. I mean, it's got to be up there. And due to the fact that there's not really a lot of spawning populations of carp here, it's mostly done through just time on the water. Somebody may go out and shoot 15 native fish and shoot two carp. And right now is when you need people shooting those two carp before they have an established spawning population. These fish lay millions and millions of eggs in multiple times a year. They don't just spawn once a year. So right now is when you need people out on the water to remove these fish. And it's irresponsible to remove bow fishermen in the state of Oklahoma right now, especially because, you know, you have no data that the native fish are in any sort of peril at all. And now you're going to remove the only people that are removing invasive species as well. When there's no reason for it, you have no reason to do that, you know, per science. So now you're just letting these carp run rampant. And statistically, 30% of the species that have went extinct in modern times were due to invasive species, where only 19% was to over-harvesting. So you look at the invasives are a bigger threat. You know, they're going to come in and take over these waterways and drive the shad population down, which is a building block. You look at silver carp that are filter feeders, you know, they're going to eat the same food that the shad are eating, drive the shad population down. And when the shad population goes down, so does everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So moving forward here, obviously, this isn't set in stone yet. It's still kind of in the works. What's next for you guys down there? Like, are you guys going to have a chance to basically say your piece before the vote happens, or, you know, what are you guys planning on doing down there?
Yeah, so I mean, the way it works is, like I kind of said earlier, there's no back and forth. There's no Q&A with the wildlife department to ask them what's going on or why you're doing it. There's none of that whatsoever. It's all just left up to, they do a public comment online. And then the commissioners, who are the ones who vote, the state commissioners will be voting on this. They go through the public comments and they make their decision. And we've talked to some of them, and they're understanding, and they're trying to work with everybody and just see what the best solution for the state is. And we appreciate that. And there was a lot of stuff that went on with that too. I mean, you know, on the public comment section, you know, this is supposed to be a public comment for people in the state to, you know, share their opinions about the regulations. And you have biologists that work for the wildlife department here going on social media all over all these anti-bow fishing forums around the country, other biologists from other states. There's email chains going on against us to go on this online public comment and leave, you know, negative things about bow fishermen. And to me, that's unethical. I mean, if you work for a wildlife department, how are you allowed to obscure the public comment for people who, A, don't even live in the state? They're not spending any money in the state. So all you're doing is just kind of just ruining, you know, that you're not giving actual Oklahomans a voice. You're taking that voice away when you're getting all these people involved from all over the country. And I think as bow fishermen, we didn't really do that. We try to just let our words have a lot of meaning and not just trying to just throw as many just random people in there as we could. I mean, you know, I have, like I said, I have a lot of views. I mean, I might have could have made a bunch of posts on my YouTube and got 10,000 people from Indonesia on there making comments pro it, but it's just an unethical way to do it. I mean, we didn't do it that way, and we hope that the commissioners see that as well. You know, the bowfish community is not big. I mean, you know that. We're very small, and we really can't defend ourselves in mass in general. So to try, you know, these biologists are trying to turn this into a popularity contest is just wrong. I mean, you shouldn't be basing regulations off popularity. I mean, it makes no sense, but that's kind of what they're trying to turn it into. And, you know, we think that the commissioners are going to see through that. So they're going to vote on it. It'll be a public meeting. You're not really allowed to talk necessarily. You can put in a special request to talk to the commissioners, which is what I'm going to do. But you can also go, and I think having a good presence there on January 8th at the Wildlife Department there in Oklahoma City would be awesome. I mean, they can see that this affects people. It's not just some willy-nilly thing that we're doing here. I mean, this affects what we love, and so it affects some of our livelihoods. So it would be good to have the support there. And that's kind of more waiting. You know, right now it's just a waiting game. The public comment section is done. So now we're just waiting to see what happens. So we have high hopes, but you know, you never know how these things are going to go. So yeah, now we're just waiting.
Yeah. It's kind of scary just sitting here waiting, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, and, you know, obviously hoping for the best. We'll link in the description, the date, the time, the place where you can go if you're down in Oklahoma. I think we have quite a few listeners down there. So, if you're listening to this and you're down in Oklahoma, you got some time on the 8th, you know, we could really, really use the support, the presence of the bow fishing community down there, at that meeting, you know, show them that, this is important to us and we care. And, obviously, you know, I feel like I shouldn't need to say this, but I will anyway. You know, obviously be respectful if you're going to go to the meeting. You know, we don't need to make our drag our name in the mud any more than it already has been. So, you know, no matter what the outcome is, you know, keep it respectful. I'm sure Steven would love to see you down there supporting the cause. Yeah. Anything else, man? Anything else we need to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered most of it. I mean, we could have a 10-hour conversation about this. You know, there's so many moving parts, and we're all so passionate about the sport, but we got to keep it short, obviously, and kind of keep the main points. But I want people to understand that this is not just an Oklahoma problem. I mean, y'all are dealing with that up there in Minnesota. I've been seeing tons of articles, people calling for extreme restrictions on the sport up there. I've went through the rabbit hole, essentially, looking at reading all the posts from biologists all across the country, and everybody's waiting to see how this plans out. I mean, if this goes through in Oklahoma, it will be on the docket for basically every state in the United States next year if this goes through. I mean, this is they're literally saying that out loud, like, we want this in every state. So I think a lot of bow fishermen have been kind of, you know, lackadaisical, like, well, you know, I don't live there. Well, understand that this is the way these operations work, is they use studies and data from other states to push what they want to push. A lot of the articles that they're posting for fish species like bigmouth buffalo and stuff are from Minnesota, and they're trying to use that here in Oklahoma. So I think we all got to stay vigilant, like you said, and we got to start shifting the narrative, and we got to work together, and we got to shun the people that are doing wrong in the sport and show the good things, show that we're getting the youth into outdoors, which is a big problem that, you know, states are having, is that the youth are not getting into outdoors anymore. You know, and that's the modern term. And the good thing about bow fishing is it's not really as much like regular fishing. It's fast paced. It's fun. It's exciting. It's great for kids. And that's, you know, that's a kid's window to getting into being part of the outdoors. I mean, that's beautiful. And I think bow fishing is, I mean, it's, you've done guides and you've taken kids out, and I mean, they had the time of their lives, man. And I think we need to show that side more and realize how valuable it is just to keep kids outdoors. Like you said, I think we need to show the positive sides more, and not, I think the method of bow fishing is, let's just mind our own business and people leave us alone. And unfortunately, that's not the case. We can't just fly under the radar anymore there, because these people that are against us are loud, and they're trying to do their best. So we got to show that we're good to keep around, and we're good for the, not only the waterways, but we're good for the outdoorsmen, and then good for the states, good for money, good for everything. So we got to show that good side. We can't just fly under the radar anymore.
Yeah. You know, that's a lot of good points there. I'm really glad you brought that up. Yeah. I mean, joining the BAA, your local bow fishing association in your state, is super, super important. We need all the numbers that we can get, all the help we can get. And just like you said, I mean, it starts in one state and then moves on to the next and to the next. And eventually, I mean, just like you said, it's going to spread across the country here. So, other states are looking at what's going on in Oklahoma. They're looking at what's going on in Minnesota, and they're waiting to see how things pan out. And once those results come out, then, you know, the next states will start falling in line and trying to do similar things. And I wish that wasn't true, and I wish that wasn't the case, but it really is. It really is true, and it is the case. So, act now, you know, act now. If you're in a state that, you know, isn't showing any signs of regulating at all, that's awesome. Start, you know, putting good names out there for bow fishing and being proactive there, you know, proactive instead of reactive, getting members, everything that you possibly can, so that when that fight comes to your state, you are better prepared and ready to go. So, I think I can't stress that enough. It's super, super important. And yeah, I mean, we talk about youth on here all the time. I know you mentioned that, and that's a huge piece of it. I know that's one of my favorite things to talk about, is getting youth in the sport and encouraging people to do that. But again, I mean, another like, wow, this is a really good time to do that, because, you know, the more of the next generation we get involved, then the longer we can, you know, fight the fight and stay in the game. Yeah, that's super important. And then, so on that side of it, you know, important for youth to get in, but also on the youth side of it, I mean, you know, you and I, and probably a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast, I mean, we know what it was like to grow up in the outdoors and how amazing of an experience that was, being able to hunt, fish, whatever, and experience nature in that way. And I mean, how formative it was in our lives. And yeah, a lot of the youth these days are missing out on that. And so, this is a really, really good way to get them into it again. You know, create events, create tournaments. I mean, whatever you can to get kids out bow fishing is probably, I mean, arguably the most important thing, the most important job that we have, I would say. So, really glad, you brought all that up, Steven. That's all really important stuff.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's like, it's the most important thing, you know, and I think that's a problem that's plaguing the country in all outdoors. And it's not just bow fishing. I think bow fishing is probably, you know, the one thing that kid, you know, these are iPad kids, you know, grew up with overstimulated. And so you got to give them, a fast paced, fun window to get into outdoors. And there's not a better, thing for bow fishing. And they'll grow up with the appreciation for these fish. You know, they'll grow up knowing what a buffalo is and what, you know, the difference between a buffalo and a carp, or, you know, the different species of gar, which is something that we probably didn't grow up knowing. You know, I was an angler my whole life. You know, I won big catfishing tournaments and you know, I fished my whole life. But until I started bow fishing, I mean, I couldn't tell you the difference between a smallmouth buffalo and a bigmouth buffalo. But through bow fishing, I've been educated about these fish, and I have an appreciation for them. And instilling that in the youth is so vitally important. And I think that we're doing that as a community. And I, here in Oklahoma, my friend Randy Woodard puts on a bunch of youth tournaments every year to get youth into the outdoors. He puts on, you know, female women's tournaments, and it's a big part of the culture in bow fishing as well. It's very important to us, and it always has been. And I think, we need to show more of that side.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, like I said, we will be watching and seeing what happens down there in Oklahoma, supporting you any way we can. Like I said earlier, we'll link all that information in the description, so that if you want to follow along with that, or maybe you can make it to that meeting, all that info will be there. Steven, man, thanks again for joining me here and talking about this issue. I'm really glad that you are down there and you are really kind of really involved in this, because it seems like, you know, you've got a good bead on things, and you seem like a good guy to have representing us down there. So thank you, man.
Oh, no problem. And, you know, there's a lot of good guys working real hard down here, and it's been a journey, and I think it's been positive for the bowfish community in a way. But I mean, and same thing for you, man. You're giving us a voice. You know, somebody's got to come out here, and I know it's a lot of work putting together these podcasts, and you're making this time, you know, in your day, and it's so important, because we don't get a chance to talk. You know, our voice doesn't get out there. They're not, the people that are against us aren't going to let that happen, so we have to do it ourselves. And you taking the time and doing this podcast and fighting for, you know, in your state up there, I know you've been involved with it up there, so you know, that it's vitally important. I appreciate your time today, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, good talking to you as always. Hopefully the next time we talk, it's on a slightly more positive note. Great to have you, man. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man. Take care.